Hi everyone. I usually share my testimony when I'm sitting down one-on-one with someone. So I'm a little bit I just to give you a background of when, because I wasn't born in a Christian home, I wasn't brought up a Christian. Me and my family were, didn't go to church. But I'll give you right from the beginning, just a little bit as I go through. But when I was 3 months old, I shouldn't have actually been here. When I was 3 months old, my dad was carrying me. He was carrying me to my cot, and he tripped over, well, this is what I was told, he tripped over my brother's bike, and he threw me into the cot, hitting my head on the corner of the cot, and I had a brain hemorrhage. Thus, my one side is weaker, and I can't see out of one eye. So I shouldn't have actually been here. Then I grew up in a home that was where I saw sometimes a lot of words spoken, not good words, and I witnessed my dad, my brother and I witnessed, my dad was an alcoholic, and I witnessed my dad beat my mum. And he actually picked her up one time, I remember. He picked her up one time by her hair and threw her out the door. And me and my brother were sitting there, and my dad would come down and sit down and go, come here, and I'm going, no way. I don't trust you. But then when I was 7, they separated, and then my dad took my brother, and I went with my mum. I blamed myself for that separation because of all what was going on, and over the years I lost my confidence, my self-esteem, you name it, I lost it. And I would look and just, how he treated us, how he, just everything that went on. And I didn't understand what was happening, so I blamed myself. I looked for love in all different places as I grew up. I looked for love everywhere because I needed my dad. I had my stepfather come on the scene when my mum was about, when I was about 10, I think I was, and I didn't want him near me. I didn't want him in the family because I felt that if he wasn't there, he was stopping my mum and dad getting back together. So I looked, when I grew up, and I needed, and I was looking for affirmation and acceptance and a father figure. I knew God existed, but I didn't want to know him because I thought, if that's what a father's like, then that's what he's like. And I got myself into a relationship on and off over 10 years. Then it ended quite badly. It ended quite verbal and a little violent, like my boyfriend then. He would, and Anthony, he had a, what I found out later, if something didn't go right for him, he would be violent. And he would, on separating, he would punch the walls beside me. Which my mum and my stepfather came and took me out of that situation. And then when I went flatting, I met Tony. I was flatting with two guys. One of them was Tony. And they were also friends. But unbeknown to me, God had chosen one of them to be my future husband. But for me, no way. Not for all the tea in China. We had many disagreements, but ended up buying a house together and living together. My brother was staying with with us at the time, because he had a few problems in his relationship. And seeing the changes that I saw in him, because he became a Christian, he was in the background, he was in the gangs. He got thrown out of the house when he was 12 by my dad. He was quite violent, and dad was quite violent to him. And then I started to wish I had it too, what I saw in him. And I was sick at the time, I had bronchial asthma. And there was one evening after Tony had gone to bed, it was about 10 o'clock at night, I remember the day, the hour, quite clearly. It was about 10 o'clock at night, he went to bed. I was talking to my brother Stephen, some of you will know him. And he started talking about God to me. And I wanted to have all, I wanted to go to bed. I remember standing there. I wanted to go to bed. I was in the hallway. I couldn't move. My feet were like they were cemented to the ground. But I wanted to run. I wanted to go and join my husband, but I couldn't move. I just couldn't move. I just couldn't lift my legs. And that was a battle inside of me. In a battle that was raging inside of me, like, yes, I want to know, and I want to know God, but no, I don't. I want to run, I want to get out of here. And then, yeah, I accepted the Lord into my heart. My bronchial asthma went. God cured my bronchial asthma. And I didn't feel like I had to strive, and I didn't need to try to get someone to love me anymore. And God showed me that he loved me, and Tony asked me to marry him, and I accepted. And then as that went on, I knew God was talking to me, saying, you need to separate. And I'm going, huh? And he was saying, you need to separate. Who do you serve, me or the world? You can't serve two masters. And there was a battle again inside of me. And then on, we took the dog for a walk at the school, and I was saying to Tony, I need to talk to you. And I was petrified. And I told him, I said, I can't live with you anymore. He was like, what? And I said, no, I have to separate, I have to go. And then I thought, oh, I can live in the front room, I can just stay in the front room. And it's like God was saying to me, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. So I went to stay with my brother. He had resolved his relationship at that time. Tony stayed at home doing whatever he was doing. And then God was sorting my life out. I remember when the first night I went to my brother's, I was washing my face, I was standing there in the mirror looking, what's going on here? And I heard a voice. It was a verbal voice calling my name. And because I didn't know it was God at the time, and I just turned around and I went, what was that? And I said to Stephen and Cherise, I said, someone just spoke to me. And they were like, oh, okay. And yeah, during that time, they blessed us with children. I came to know God, he blessed us with children. And he was sorting my life out. And then we got married, because I told Tony I couldn't marry him if unless he was a Christian. I couldn't marry him, which at that time I was praying and hoping he would come to the Lord. But from then to now, I was pregnant with my third child. I didn't want the child at the time. But I grew to love that child, and then I lost that child, and my heart was broken. And just through the years, a couple of years later, I was watching The Shack with my home group, and Ezra was there, and we were watching The Shack. And then near the end, it was Jesus, well, the guy was saying, she's in heaven with me. And I thought, my child, my girl or boy is in heaven. him again. And that was starting a healing for me. And then last year, Tony got sick. For me, I've never seen him like that. I've always seen him as a strong man, never had a day off from work and all that I've known him. And it was life or death with him, because I'd never seen him shake so much. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And I had Jami, Dad's, Pauline, Pastor Andrew, all the Ezra, everyone there. And they kept asking me, you okay? You okay? I'm going, yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. But I wasn't. And I had, the Lord gave me a few scriptures because he knew that I wasn't fine. And Pastor Andrew would keep messaging me with songs, with different things, because he knew I wasn't, deep down, because he knew me, he knew I wasn't fine. And the scriptures were Psalm 91, 1 to 12. He who dwelt, there's two that stood out and I stood on right through his illness. There was Psalm 91, 1, 2, which was he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And my other one was... the Lord is my, Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy. With my song, I praise him. Yeah, and he's my strength. And I always said, if you got the Lord is my strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But I turned that round and I went, the strength of the Lord is my joy, because that's who I could stand on. I couldn't, because I had anxiety attacks. I was talking to Mum one time, and it took her 45 minutes just to calm me down. And then I had Tony's family come up, and I just couldn't. I loved them. I wanted them to be there, and I knew they had to be there for Tony, because he might not have made it. But I just couldn't handle it at the time. I just couldn't handle them and Tony and everything that was going around me, because I was just like, everything was sinking. And as Pastor Suzuki said last week, the boat's not sinking. You may think it is, but it's not sinking. But the Lord was my rock at that time with everyone else and their prayers. If I hadn't been praying for me and Tony, I don't think where I'd be now. Yeah. And then I lost my eyesight this year through my retina detachment. It was 3/4 off. Once it comes off, I got told that's it. You can't be repaired. And so they repaired my eyesight. And standing on, and I said to Tony, I said, it doesn't matter if I don't see anymore, because the first face I'll see in heaven is Jesus. And he was like, oh. And I just stood on. I said, Lord, you are my healing. You are I walk in your victory. You are my healing. And I can see now, taking me a bit to get through my look, to get used to my glasses. But I can see 97% now, and I can drive. So the Lord restored all my sight back. Yeah, that's it.
By the way, she didn't mention, but Tony mentioned that later on, Tony got born again. That's why she married him. They got married. But they didn't marry until Tony got born again. Poor Tony. Yeah, Yui. We could see how healing happened in the life of China. Healing from the past, healing from abuse, healing from her experience when Tony was about, she thought, everyone thought Tony can't make it. Healing from her eyes. It's hard. If you are not a Christian, how would you take all, how would you look at things like that? With the experience he had, I don't know if who is Gina now, being abused by your own father? I don't know. That's why we have grown-ups who are very rebellious. They're just so rude because of their past. But you see, everything can be changed. And that's what we're going to study, reframing your worldview. Do we have it there? Reframing your worldview. Worldview is how we look at the world, look at things. Our filters to everything that is happening. We have our own understanding of that. And we got that from our experience, from others, as we grew up, from our parents. And I remember when I was a kid, my mom would always tell me that if we are walking, for example, and there is this wire, electric wire, I don't know if that's electric, oh no, it's telegraphic wire, because at that time it was Morse code that I think they used for. And she would always tell me, if you hear swinging, like the wind blows on those wires, there's a sound like that. Look at it, there will be a paper running for the telegraph, that's telegram. So I believe in that, because that's her worldview, that's her belief, so I believed him, her, until of course when I realized it was not true. So with our life, we have lots of things. Here in New Zealand, Kiwi fishermen believe that you should not be bringing a banana when you go fishing. And I thought, what's the connection between a banana and fishing? And probably it's true to them, because when they go fishing, they don't go to where we go, where there is fish. They go to a place where there is no fish, and they stay there with the banana and they catch nothing, so they believe that. But it's not true, because I always bring banana with me when I go fishing. So I'm catching big fish, so that's not true. See? There is this belief also in our country that during when it's dark and you throw something, especially hot water, you say, dayo, dayo? What do you say in English? Far away. Tabi, tabi. It means you are telling the spirits to move away because you're throwing something there and they might be hit and you'll suffer the consequence of that. So those were the beliefs and all of those were, it controls some of the things that we're doing. My dad, when he plants kumbra, our neighbor is a bit far from us, he would plant kumbra on the night time. He don't plant it on daytime. Do you know why? Because he has to be bold. He take off everything, because in his belief that kumbra grows, the fruits will be bigger. When you don't have pants while planting kumbra. It's good. We are, our neighbors is about 200, 300 meters away from us. So that's a belief of my dad. No, but it's good I didn't follow it. Let's read Romans 12. Ready? Begin. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace you have been given, I say, to every one of you, do not think of highly more
that you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So he's talking about, in the end, about don't look at people lower than you. And the only way to do that is, he said, renewing your mind in verse 2. Renewing your mind. When we got born again, it doesn't mean that our mind had been renewed. Our spirit was, because that's where the presence of God was. The Holy Spirit came there. That's what Pastor Andrew would always say, that we are saved by faith, that if we die now, we'll surely go to heaven because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, but we also being renewed, or he calls it saved day by day. That he speaks about sanctification, that our renewal is happening day by day, but it's only as we know the Word of God and walk upon it. Like my work, about 90%, I think, hates Israel, hates Trump. But why do I am with Israel? Because they're my brothers. I'm connected to them. I'm a Christian. The Bible says very clear. And I will always defend Israel because they are my brothers. I'm connected to them. So that's why do they have that view? Because of the news they hear. They don't. If you listen to CBS, of course you hear the news that are really protecting Israel from what they're doing. But if you listen to CNN, especially Al Jazeera, it's all against Israel and the U.S. So it depends. So their worldview against Israel is just so much. Yeah, it's just so much. So if you ask me why am I supporting Israel, because they're my brothers. They're my brothers. I'm connected to them. Okay? That's the reason why. That's my worldview. That's how I perceive things. Now, let's read 1 Corinthians 5:17. Ready? Begin. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. When we got born again, there is a new creation that was created in us. We got born again. But we have still our mindset with us. That's what the Holy Spirit is dealing to change that mind, to that our worldview would be in control, be controlled by the truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," controlled by the Word of God. But the thing is, not until we obey the Word of God, never will that mindset, you call it paradigms, will shift to another paradigm, which is based on the principles of the Bible. Like, for example, giving. Not until you give, you will never change that mind, because the mind will always say, grab it for yourself. Especially when you are from the northern part of the Philippines, like me, which we were trained to be thrifty there. Kuripot, they call it kuripot. How do you say? Stingy. We were trained to be stingy in that northern part. So it's hard for me to just give away something. But I have to follow the Word of God, especially when you marry a woman who is so committed to truth. Like my wife. I don't know if you remember when he read this book, and I was pastoring in Baguio City, a city in the northern part of Manila. And suddenly he said, "Dads, I think we will follow this book." And the book is saying that aside from your 10% tithes, which we give, you add another 10%. I said, "That's not biblical. There is no 20% tithes. Tithes means 10. No, we just add it. he said. So we did it. It may be so hard because our the income we get is just exact. And we did it, and we didn't get short of it. It's just the same. We live in accordance to the budget. And the thing is, I was pulled out from the church, and I was brought to Manila, and they made me not a pastor. They made me a service driver driving an old car. So it went down and down and down, but she was faithful into that, which I just submitted to her. That's the good news for me. I know how to submit. They bought this house of Ezra. I never knew what's inside. I only knew when they bought it already, what's inside. And it was very nice. And that's why I trust them. They just do what they do, and I'll just agree. And I have a good day if I do that, because I don't have to argue with them. So that's the secret of why I'm happy in my life. I just let them have it. I know they're godly, and they will not ruin my life. Let's read John 8:32. Ready, begin. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. Jesus will set you free. The principles of the Bible will set you free. By how? For the longest time, there had been a crisis in the credibility of our culture. See, you can find corruption everywhere. Not so much here in New Zealand, but there is still corruption in politics, in business, especially in the third world. You will never, I mean, billions of pesos being corrupted. There is what they call in the Philippines PDF. CDF, Community Development Fund. They call it pork barrel. So if the fund is 50 million, 20% of that is not being audited. Automatic, it will go to the congressman or the, here, it, they call it MP. They call it MP here, but in the Philippines, they call it congressman. It goes there. It's not audited. There is even this term called, never mind. But corruption is just everywhere. And even in churches, corruption is everywhere. We're blessed here in this church because your pastor doesn't get anything from the church. But in other churches, like especially in the, you are really tempted to get, especially when your life is too hard. And sometimes you just rely on what you receive from the church. And so the motive there sometimes is, how can I get more money to sustain me in this ministry? So sometimes you are being moved to do something. You don't steal, but you know the motive is different. It's money. It's all money. So they call it, call that moral values truth decay, the decaying of the truth. But I want to talk about us. How can we change our mind about yourself, okay? Remember that God designed you. You are custom made, and you are special to him. Let's read our text. Psalms 139, verse 13. Because this is where we, many people, also with me, I came from not really being satisfied of who I was. I was not happy. Why? I have this kind of nose. I have this kind of eyes. When I was a teenager, why is it that we are very poor? I wasn't really happy, especially with myself. Let's read 139:13-16. Ready, begin. For you, in honest being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, when you saw my formed body, and all the day ordained for me was written in the book before one of them came to be. That's David talking about how God created him, made him. God custom designed every one of us. In fact, he custom designed each and every person who ever lived, even those that doesn't believe in him. He custom made everyone. When you stop and actually think about that truth, it is amazing, you see. But of course, because of this fashion things and everything that they call handsome and beautiful according to their nose, according to their skin color. And so now we have this, according to their body, we have this notion of who is a beautiful, who is a handsome. But it's not with God. Few things are as complex as human body, but all of the system in your body works together in just the right way because God designed them. In fact, in Psalms 139, God says, he's watching where you were being developed in your mother's womb. He oversaw every detail of your creation because even before you were born, he had a place, a purpose, and a plan for your life. If he didn't, he wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. You will not die when what happened? You fall and you will not die because you have to be here, standing in front of me while I preach and beside your husband that loves you. See, think of the things that you almost died. But you didn't die. It's like the pastor last Sunday, what's his name? Kimmy. They almost sink, but they didn't sink. Because God has a purpose for every one of us. Think of that. How many times I should have died, but I didn't die. I think 4 or 5 times I've fallen from a tree. One tree was about very high, but I hold on to that trunk. It's a santol tree. To that trunk, and it just keep being, I didn't go, went straight. It just, what's that? Because of the other branches. So when I fell, but not too much. I still feel the pain because I hit some branches while I was falling. But I did die. How many times? The reason is because God sets a purpose. So that I know that it's time to die. I will ask God, just help me to die, Lord. Help me, give me a confidence in my feeling when I'm ready to die, that I'm ready to die. So that truth is amazing, really, that God had created us. Now I don't find the arrow. Okay. So that's why don't ever think that you were created by accident, that you were born by accident, that Hannah, I remember, we never planned to have a child after Ezra. That was about, because we wanted Ezra to be 10 years old before our next child, because we were missionaries and life was just too hard. And Ezra and Louisa didn't deliver normal cesarean, and we didn't have money. All of it was just by faith. We were able to pass the test of that through the help of whatever, including the DSWD. What does DSWD do here? Winds. The winds help us. not winds. because there is no free hospital in the Philippines. The SWD, it's a group, it's a government entity that helps those that are in need. So we were able to pay the hospitalization later on. So we decided that we will have another child in after 10 years, so that probably that whatever that is will heal. But after 6 years, she got pregnant. She got pregnant. So is she an accident? I don't believe so. And look how beautiful Hannah is. Is she here? She's there. Oh, how I wish she heard that. There are no accident babies, remember that. God planned you. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. You may have good parents or bad parents or indifferent parents, or maybe you don't even know your parents. Whoever your parents are, God chose you because they had the right DNA, created you through their DNA. He wants you. You are special. It's not an insult to your creator. It is not an insult to your creator if you do some enhancement on yourself. There's nothing wrong with you doing enhancement. But please, after that enhancement, you still look. You're not still happy with how you look like. Oh, there's something wrong. You should be thankful that I do some enhancement too. My eyes, you see, look at my eyes. Before this one goes here, I did that because my eyes were going down. So I did twice where Cora's Dr. Sam. But it's not because I wanted to be more handsome, but because it is going down like that. But deep behind my mind, how I wish I will be more handsome too. So I did it twice. Because the first one still went down and I cannot see well. So I did it twice. And still, is it handsome? But after that, you should thank God. I mean, you try it, but don't blame your parents. Don't blame anyone. Don't blame the doctor. You went there. The thing is, if you are not satisfied of who you are, you keep going, you'll be like, what's this, singer? Singer? The singer? He wanted to be white? He wanted Michael Jackson. That's the problem with you. Don't accept who you are. That's the problem. And you will never be happy all your life, because once you see yourself on the mirror, you get upset with how you are created. So whoever your parents are, God, have you those parents so that you can have their DNA. You just have to have a renewal of your mind later on so that what you see is not your parents anymore, but God, who is your Father in heaven. So remember this, look at yourself as how your Father in heaven looks at you. You are an apple of his eye. So let's get into the next one. Where does your dignity come from? This is a big problem of many of, including Christians. Let's read it. 1 Peter 18:19, ready, begin. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Now, what does that mean? Deep down, everyone, they want dignity. Who will not want to be dignified? Be respected. Everyone wants to know they're worth something and to believe their life matters. Even those people we see on the road, they just can't do anything anymore. And they have different mindset anymore. They just gave up. What gives you, or what gives your life dignity? People try to find dignity in all kinds of things like wealth, work, beauty, sex, but you'll never find any of those in those places. You can have it all by the world's standard, but still feel empty or fake inside. Look at those very popular people who were never happy. Some of them even committed suicide. Why? Because you were made for more. You were not just made to be wealthy, to be the boss, the CEO, whatever, to be beautiful, to be sexy. I think sexy is a bad word in New Zealand, eh? They said it's, I told one of the ladies before here, oh, you're sexy. That's bad words, Louisa said. Why? She's sexy. In the Philippines, if you're sexy, you are slim. But here, if you are sexy, I think it's different connotation. So that's what I mean, slim. Why? Because you were made for more. Where does your dignity come from? It comes from three truths. One, God sacrificed his son, Jesus, for you. It says there, by the precious blood of Christ. Okay. God considered you valuable enough to die for. The Bible says, God paid ransom for you. And it was not paid through mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ. How valuable are you then? So we have to change that mind, that whoever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever things that we think who we are, those are nothing unless we find how precious we are in the sight of God. So how much is something worth? Whenever a buyer is willing to pay for it, Jesus is willing to pay for you, for your salvation, for his own, with his own life. It was like saying, I'd rather die than live without you. You're that valuable to God. Not until we understand that, we will never be satisfied in this life, because we attach our value to the things we possess, to what people say about us. One of the drivers once said to me, because I mistakenly pulled her paper before it was paper that we use on when we sign off. There is a paper that we take it out, and that's our evidence that we work. But now it's not; it's all computerized. And so I took that and put it on the rubbish. And then she came to me and said, "You dwarf! Why? You took my paper and threw it on the garbage. You want me to push you down?" He said to me. She's a woman, Canadian one, but tall. So I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know. What do you know? Anything that comes out there is owned by somebody. Get out there." I said, okay, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I will not react. I will just say sorry. That's what in my mind, because I want to bite her. So our reaction depends on how you look at yourself. Some of the expressions of the classmates of Ezra, I remember that when she was studying in high school in the Philippines. I will not go to your level. That's supposed to be our attitude. We don't go to the level of those unchristian when it comes to the arguments or whatever. Because if not, you will be like them. You will be like them. That's the standard that is supposed to be seen by from us. Number two, the Holy Spirit lives within you. When you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you're asking God's Spirit to live inside you. As you get to know him, you learn to recognize his voice as he teaches you to live like he wants you to. Some of us are very keen listening to the Holy Spirit. Me, I listen to the Holy Spirit, but deep within. With Gina, with her stories, he can listen even in the audible voice of God. But I always listen to what God, the Spirit says within me. When we were buying this house, Jamie's house is very, very, very tiring transactions. I don't know, you get tired. I would always ask the Holy Spirit, speak to my heart, Lord. Why am I being included in the trouble of this buying this house? And yeah, there will be a word that I hear deep within. Because the Holy Spirit is there. We just have to learn how to listen to what he says. Oh, sorry, madam. I forgot to call you and read the passage. Next time, the next preacher will call you because it's okay. Next time, you will have it. Because I forgot, please forgive me. Please forgive me. So the Bible teaches, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? It's not there. God would never put his spirit inside a junk. The fact that the Holy Spirit lives within you, he gives you dignity. Jesus has given you a new identity, the next one. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we have read that before. Yeah, we can read that. 5:17. Yeah. Well, let's read it. Ready? Begin. Anyone who is joined in Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. And the next one. The next one. Yeah. Ready? Begin. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given you by God? Do you not belong to yourself? When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he transforms your life and makes it better and you. Every time you sin, it damages your dignity, replaces a little bit of self-respect with a little bit of shame. But Jesus is in the dignity restoring business. Remember that. That's why we don't judge anyone. God has forgiven them and will forgive them. When you trust him for salvation, he gives you a fresh start and clean slate. He forgives you and then he restores your dignity. No matter who you are and what you've done, your life has dignity because Jesus died for you. So our dignity will depend on how we look on Jesus, how we were forgiven, and how we were being loved. That the God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, is our Father. God's Spirit lives in you, and Jesus has given you brand new identity. There's no need to live in shame. Live in your God-given dignity. That's the only way we can be satisfied in this life. You cannot ever be satisfied with those things you own. Never. Because there will always be better than you. Even the champions of the best basketball players, all of them, they don't really stay happy with that. The most beautiful women, Miss Universe, whoever. I used to run in a players compete oval. And one of them at the trans with me there, I always see her was a Miss Universe. Oh, I think first runner up Miss Universe. Somebody, I forgot her name. So I was running and I recognized her. But she's no longer beautiful. She's fat and she's no longer beautiful. But yet, she was a beauty queen. So the only way you can have your real dignity is when you know who you are in Christ. What are you betting for in life? Whatever it is, you better have good reason for it. You have examined the evidence. You have given a serious thought. The world says to find your own truth. But the Bible says there is one truth, and that truth is Jesus. That truth is the Word of God. And God wants you to know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to end it here. God's truth shall impact every part of your life. Every part. The Living Bible says, let every... is it there? Titus 2:7? Yeah, let's read it. Ready, begin. Let everything you do reflect the love of the truth and the fact that you are in dead earnest about it. There's a lot of Bible that in the Bible that I don't understand, honestly. There's a few things there, a lot, that makes me uncomfortable sometimes. But the fact is, even if that happens, I will still trust the Bible. My mind is limited. I will never understand everything that's in there. But to those that I understand, to those that I live with, that changed me, those will be a revelation enough for me. What is important, you have Christ in your heart. And after this life, you will be with him forever. So I pray, I obey, I serve, I give, I forgive. Because I'm supposed to do that. He said, I will pray, so I pray. He said, I will obey, so I obey. He said, I will serve, so I serve. He said, I will give, so I give. He said, I will forgive, so I forgive. But he also said, to love myself. That's why I go fishing. I play pool. That's part of loving myself, but those are secondary. I will never give up fishing from my service to the church. I will never give everything for in place of something that's more important, which is God. I can give up some of Louisa's command if she says, don't go fishing. No, that's a major decision. It's mine. Remember, there are two major decisions in my life. All minors like buying house. And you see, they bought the house. It's their decision. I just follow. I said, yes. But when it comes to fishing and playing pool, that's mine. That's a major decision. Because I love myself. But I love God, of course, more. Sometimes they have activity. And I say, no, I can't come. They just don't say anything because they know. I love them more because I work for them, for the family. That's why I work. But I don't exchange my work to fishing because work first. So because of them. But when it comes to my own love to myself, sometimes I overrule their rule. See, God is not a KSP God. What's that? Killjoy God. He loves what you love to do. That's why my friend and me just enjoy life. Just that I'm more high-tech than him now. Hopefully, he already got the bike, so that's a starting point for being high-tech. Next time, he'll have the drone, probably. And as he grow old, he will have also my... I use this... what's this? The electric reel. So I don't have to hurt myself. So three things that I want you to understand in this preaching. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are special. You are his son. You are his daughter. Remember that. Don't look at yourself less than that. Number two, you are worth how do I say it? My English here is wrong. You are worth because your worth is the life of Jesus because he died for you. That's how expensive you are. And number three, please think that everyone deserves to be respected, even those that are. I have to struggle a lot with that. How can I respect those regularly coming to the bus and don't have money in the card, or they don't have card any at all? I have to struggle in that, but I have to respect them. I have to give them. How can we respect those against the Israelites? We have to, because Christ died for them. But how? Not for what they've done, but if I meet them, I will try my best to respect them. You see especially we Filipinos, you see an Indian and work with them. What comes into your mind? You have it. We have it. But I have to treat them with how God looks at them. You see, like, not because islanders are bad, but because of the biases we have with other races. You see a Kiwi, you already have, if you are a Filipino, you already have your bias, but I have to change that mind. They have their own dignity. Before, when I see a white, how do you say it, a European, I always think myself below that, but now it's not. We are equal in God. But I have to respect those that I think, when I thought they're lower than me, it's not true. We are equal in God. Respect everyone. Look at them as a good luck. Jesus died for them too. So, tell to your neighbor, you are excellently made. Believe that. You are complete in God. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and how what you've done for us. Let this be a revelation, Lord, how we look at ourselves to change this mindset, Lord God, of being judgmental to especially the different races, oh God. Different kinds of people on the road, especially those, Lord, that are unruly. Help us, Lord, to understand them, that they're just, you died for them. It's not that we hate them because of what they do, but because of how you died for them, oh God, that we should understand, we should love them. You said, love even your enemies. Lord, we thank you for today, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.